Hi everybody, this is Terry Laundrie. We're starting our Sunday broadcast for November 22, 2009, and the first chart is the one that's been occupied me for some time. It's basically an extension of the first chart in the tutorial. I had developed that program during the 1990s, and I was quite happy with it as it went along. However, the particular program only was capable of, it only had in its database advanced decline information and then the New York Composite Index. And the whole point of the new dimension was to come up with the volume oscillator and and go to short range T's, which will be in the second chart. So anyway, I stopped the development on that, but before I did, I did notice that there was a cycle that was about 8 years in the advanced decline line, which you see in the bottom of the picture, and that's taken on quite new significance since I upgraded the program. I'm still working on the program. If you notice that, if you've read the tutorial, you'll see that the T's 1 through 10 are pretty much as the program just calculates them up to 10. I had to, for this report, add in T number 11, which is a small T going over the top. It's only to get to show that you're just making a small jump up to the 2000 peak. Then I have also sketched in T12, which we did, and T13, which is the current T with the forecast of a rally from the recent low into August of 2010. By next week, I will have those T's embedded in the program, and they'll all be pretty well taken care of, and we'll be stuck with these things. So today, what I just want to do is go over the important features, which I think are probably the major, which will provide with the major conclusions. I also have noticed that there's a double bottom in the New York Composite Index on the price. What we did was we dropped through the 0203 low, and then it rebounded. The other thing I have right above is the 10-year zero rate of return in price. What that shows is the New York Composite, which is the weighted average of all stocks on the New York Stock Exchange and includes more than 3,000 stocks, is basically at the same level as it was in the year 2000 when we hit a peak for most technology stocks and so forth. So that means that in terms of the prices of the average price on the New York Stock Exchange is the same level as it was at 2000. The total return, which includes dividends, is not shown in this diagram, but there haven't been much in the way of dividends, especially in the 2000 period, you know, in the years after 2000 right away. So it's a zero rate of return in price, but the total return is somewhat more positive. For the S&P 500, the total return, which is basically 500 blue chips, all in the U.S., and weighted to reflect the economic makeup of the U.S. economy, that is got a zero rate of return, including dividends, except it's probably a little bit positive now, but it's like a 0.5% per annum for that time period. So other things in the charts which are left over from the program, you see the green dollar sign 955, then these down below it you see the dollar sign 32. That's just the limitations of the high and the low in the chart. And then the blue numbers on the left hand side, those are the highs and lows in the advanced decline line. That has an arbitrary starting point in 1966 of I think it's 60,000, and the advanced decline line was hit very hard in 1974. And then you can see it's to a large extent it's coming back up. What's unusual is that the big advance that you see in the advanced decline line in the time period of since 2000 and the current recovery, which is actually quite good, things were going up, and that was good. But it does seem to overemphasize the strength of what you see in the price indices. So there's something peculiar going on there. You'll also see that the I do have down at the bottom in 01, I have low for oil and gold, because I want to talk about that. But the main thing I was going to talk about today, which I think is probably pretty interesting, is the 8-year cycle. When I was in the 90s, I was interested in the 4-year cycle, which is quite apparent in if you look at the S&P or the New York Composite Index from 1949. That's sometimes called the election cycle because it seems to fit in with the presidential thing. Oh, it doesn't really have much to do with politics. And then I noticed that there was an 8-year cycle in the advanced decline line. And if you go back and look at that tutorial, you see I did put the 8-year cycle lows in the advanced decline line. What happened is that that cycle, if you define the cycle as low to low in the advanced decline line, the push up into the year 2000 extended it. So when you take the next low, you end up down in 2000, which is it's very odd that you would have a low at 2000 because there's no low in the stock market associated with that low. That comes later on at the center post of the T. However, the fact that the advanced decline line did make a low there and it did start into a rising pattern means that something has to be going on the upside. And if you go back and you look at what was coming up, you will see that it's in the basically in the natural resource area, which would include gold and oil and commodities in general, and they have stayed strong in this time period. So a couple of weeks ago I did do the gold tease because I could see that there was something going on there. What I wanted to just introduce to you in this chart is the person that did the most work on cycles that would be of this nature is Martin A. Armstrong, who has legal difficulties right now. But what he basically did was he looked at he was interested in the way that crises developed through history, and he took a representative period of time according to what I've been told, and he found out where the crises were, and he defined them by some criteria, and then he took the total length of time and he divided it by the number of crises in that time, and he came up with a cycle which he thought was fundamental, which was 8.6 years in separation. The interesting thing here is if you take and look at my cycle, we're not too sure about that 66 business over there. So if we take the cycle that started at the end of 74, or it was the first, basically it was right at the end of 74, and you go to take the end of the last cycle, is the end of 08, you see that you have encompassed a period of about 34 years. That would be 1974 from 2008. You'd get 34 years. And if you divide that by the four, there are four completed cycles in that time period, you come up with an average nominal 8-year cycle, which is 8.5 years apart. So it may turn out that there is something more about this eight year, and I call it nominal because it varies, as being something from crisis to crisis to crisis low. And if you believe that's to be true, and you notice that from the AD low in the latter part of 2000 to the, depends whether you want to call it end late 08 or early 09, you have made a second 8-year cycle low, presumably, okay? And that means that there's a crisis. The crisis ended there, and you have potentially started another 8-year cycle, which is at odds with the 40-year cycle, which I think is equally valid, but it's a much longer cycle, which is in the 200-year chart. The 200-year chart, which is also in the tutorials. So in any case, what you have faced up with is an interesting scenario in which explains these blue things that I have up at the top of the chart. What you say is that you start from an advanced decline low and you enter an expansion phase, which eventually leads to speculation, and this speculation then causes problems, and the cycle turns down and it wipes out all the speculative interest and sets the stage for a new oversold condition according to the view of the 8-year cycle. So if you look at the top of the chart, you see that your speculative excess, it says 2007 speculative peak in real estate derivatives, which is the well-known problem with the mortgages were turned into securities, and then they were using derivatives, they turned them into huge leverage factors, and so a lot of the big institutions were on huge margin, and when the real estate market collapsed, they were you caused that crisis. But the crisis does seem to be ending on an eight-year mark, which means that that's passé. You don't have to worry about it. If you go back to the previous cycle, which was 10 years, you see that you have the speculative peak in the dot-com area. And if you go back before that, you'd be coming out of the 82 low, and you have a problem in 1990. And you'd say the speculative peak, and I'm not certain this is exactly right, but you'd say there was a speculative peak in the 87 in the S&P futures market. And when that unwound, you had the 87 crash. There was also, in my particular area, a real estate crisis going into 90, which is the end of the that particular cycle. So whether it was speculation in S&P or it was a collapse in real estate speculation, I don't know. I think the real estate collapse really was a delayed reaction to the problems in the stock market, although they were cured by, you see, notice that T5 and T6 pretty much got that taken care of. So you know how you want to interpret the low in 1990 is a problem. If you go back to the 74 low to the 82 low, and you look for a speculative peak, that was obviously in gold and silver, particularly in silver, because the Hunt brothers had presumably cornered the market in silver, and a lot of people got really interested in that. James Dines was a big proponent of gold at the time, and said that he was never going to give a gold signal till he got the one time, and he missed it, and the gold fell apart, and he was kind of caught being bullish after the top. And if you go back and you presume that there was a cycle 8 years earlier, the speculative peak prior to the 74 low was in what was called the Nifty 50 blue chip stocks. They were stocks like Polaroid, Xerox, and Eastman Kodak, which were thought to be so enduring in their value that you never had to trade them. And in those, there were 50 of them that that Wall Street actually believed were the things that you never sold. And that the fallacy in that one is that the three stocks that I mentioned, Xerox, Polaroid, and Eastman Kodak, basically just gone into the soup, and they're way down from whatever their peak value was. It illustrates that was a speculation. So if you assume that this eight-year thing is a cycle from one low through a speculative cycle, then a wipe out of that speculation into the next low, then you have the Nifty 50, gold, peak in the futures, dot-com revolution, and real estate derivatives as the sequence of speculations which logically follow from the peaking of the eight-year cycle. If you get into that mode, the obvious question that you have to ask, and the main reason for putting this chart up, is that if you started a new cycle, what's going to be the leader in the new cycle that has the best chance to lead into a speculative uptrend? Now, at my website at amshare.com, we do what we call benchmarking to try and find these things, because obviously with the beginning of the cycle, what you want to do is you want to start taking positions in a number of things that you think could eventually go into the speculative fever, because that's where the main uptrend is going to be. And if you look at it, no matter how it comes out, it's gold. Doesn't mean it is gold, and it's not a recommendation to go speculate in gold, but he says that's what it's going to come out to be. There are other alternatives on that, and it may turn out that we won't know what the answer is until we've seen this T13 play out with its top into August of next year, and then there'll be a correction after that period, and then there'll be another T afterwards, which takes us out some period of time. But usually the speculative favorite is the one that will have done the best coming up here to this leather top, and then when you go down in the correction phase that follows August 2010 is the one that holds up, and then people begin to notice that something looks good going up and it doesn't look like it was coming down. The next time you start up, whatever can meet that criteria is likely to be the next speculative favorite. Leadership area is in gold stocks now, and most of the other things that came out of the previous low, like oil, doesn't seem to be the one. It's in the same group. So it just my own opinion is it's going to be a gold, and that really is the sea change in the weakness of the U.S. and its own currency. And the fact that everybody probably owns dollars, and everybody doesn't want to own dollars, so the dollar gets weak, and then the price of gold has to go up because it's in a weaker current, expressed in a weaker currency. Doesn't necessarily mean gold in terms of other currencies are going up. It just turns out to be a U.S. phenomenon. So, in any case, I thought that was pretty interesting. I won't have time to answer a lot of questions. I read all the questions, but I don't think that the answers that you and I'll get around to them later on. But most of the questions deal with what's going on the short range chart, which is our next topic. But the answers are actually in here, I think. And so I would say that right now we're having difficulty with the short range team. But while I'm talking about this chart, I just say to you that one of the problems is you're at the 50% retracement level. You've got overhead resistance in indicators that go back. For this indicator, the New York Stock Exchange, same with the 2000 top. The 50% trade, a lot of people believe we're in a bear market rally. But if you look at the T's coming up here, you see it's all reliable. Once you get into a T, the only problem you really have is getting too close to a top and finding out it left early or it turned toppy early. And it's not a problem about getting up there. So all we have to do is get through whatever the last problems are, but they're the same problems we had at the July time period. Everybody wants to run around wringing their hands about something, and then as soon as you get the breakout and you continue the wave up, they'll cleverly try to change their mind and so forth. So I just say that I think that for the future we're going to do most of our timing off this one, because the speculative cycle in the 8 years is what you want to know. What you really want to know. To a certain extent is what's the next big thing coming in the stock market, because once you get the timing behind you, it's all about the selection area, and this, you can dissect this part here and figure out what that's going to be, because you see the sequence of T's being grouped into the eight year cycle, and because the advanced decline line is the fundamental measure in that cycle, and it's the fundamental measure used for the T's, and it's the fundamental way you evaluate stocks, because rising advanced decline line, as long as the advanced decline line is going up, it means that something's going up, and you just have to find out what it is. So it comes out to be a neat package, and I think it's going to be more useful as we go forward. Next Sunday we'll probably try to have this chart worked out some more, and I'll have thought some more about the other stuff. That's it for now. Then we'll go on to the short-term chart. Thank you.